Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is good to be with you this day. We have a great story ahead of us, great conversation ahead of us. We're going to talk with our friends from Lutheran Family and Children's Services and share one of my favorite... This is one of my favorite things I get to do on this program. We get to share an adoption story. And this time, usually we hear from parents who've adopted today. We get to hear from, a child... Now a grown child, now an adult. We're going to hear from a friend here in just a little bit, hear his adoption story. Hope you can stick around for the conversation. It is, it's bound to be a good conversation today. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website. Go to kfuo.org and look for the CUW logo there in the sponsor section. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin. Joining me in studio today, Christine Corcoran. She's the Director of Statewide Child Welfare with Lutheran Family and Children's Services. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning.
Good to have you in studio here today and thaw out after making the trip over in the cold today. Thanks for coming over and spending some time with us.
Thank you.
And also joining us in studio today, David Pennington, here to share his adoption story. David, thanks so much for coming over and spending some time with us.
Good morning, Andy. Thanks for having us.
I just love sharing adoption stories, and I know that this is just going to be a good conversation. Before we get to David's story, Christine, let's talk about Lutheran Family and Children's Services and adoption through LFCS of Missouri. How long has Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri been helping with adoptions?
Well, that's really our core program that we've been doing since 1868. So we have a pretty long-standing adoption program.
And how long, Christine, how long have you been involved with the program, and how long has being a part of helping adoptions been a part of your life?
Well, I've worked at Lutheran Family for 12 years, but then prior to that, I worked with the state in adoption, so for 12 years before that. So pretty much my entire career has been working with families or drafting policies and or working with legislature around laws and that sort of thing.
Well, very good. And we'll talk more about Lutheran Family and Children's Services and adoption with LFCS in a little bit. I want to get to David's story and share David's story today, and then we'll talk more about how to how you can have a story like this too. David, where does your story begin? Where does the story of David Pennington begin?
Well, in fact, the story really begins 46 years ago in central Wisconsin. The story begins with two young kids who found themselves in an unplanned pregnancy situation and connected with their church. And the church helped their family and led them to Missouri here in St. Louis, where I was born, through the assistance of Lutheran Family Children's Services. A fast 2 weeks later, after being fostered, my mom and dad adopted me and brought me into their life in Southwest Missouri. And I don't know, the rest is history. I shouldn't say the rest is really history, because my adoption and my connection to Lutheran Family and Children's Services has been part of who I am my entire life. It's been something that's been very exciting for our family. We're very proud of it. We went on to adopt my sister and my cousin, and now more cousins have been adopted from around the world, and just a great experience in our family.
So you know about your history, your origin in terms of your biological parents.
Sure.
When, as a child or as an adult, when did you learn that you came into your family through adoption?
You know, my parents did, I think, an incredible job of being very open and honest about my adoption, about the experience of being adopted. And kind of a funny story about that, you know, my mom still tells that story and laughs, but they described it as they got to choose their child, and a lot of other families who have their child biologically didn't necessarily have that opportunity. So they got to select the baby they wanted. So it always made me feel very proud of the fact that I was chosen, which was great. And, you know,
what was life like for them before you came into their life?
So this is a story of about a man and a woman who wanted to have children from the very onset of their marriage, and tried unsuccessfully for 7 years to have a child. And they connected with the pastor of the church that I was raised in, and they brought them to Lutheran Family Children's Services. And about 7 to 10 months later, something like that, were connected with me. So it worked out great.
7 to 10 months. Wow.
Very fast.
After 7 years of waiting and hoping for a child, they were connected to Lutheran Family and Children's Services. And you were born here in St. Louis, is that correct?
Correct. I was born at what was then the Jewish Hospital, mm-hmm. but now the BJC.
And you said that your parents were from, your adoptive parents were from
Southwest Missouri. Correct. Mount Vernon, Missouri, specifically. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very good. So they got connected to you through LFCS. And so did they come here to St. Louis?
They did. Yes. They were here for almost 3 days. I had family here mm-hmm. that lived in, they had family here that lived here in St. Louis. And then I was adopted and they spent the day here with me and then took me home.
and I'm sure as and were you so you were the first child in,
I was
in their
the first,
family
correct first grandchild first child for them yeah
that bringing a baby home is it can be very overwhelming, I'm sure. And so they traveled back to Mount Vernon. That's a
four hour
drive back home with a new baby in the car.
My mom laughs, and she laughs now about how, you know, these kids are on their car seats and stuff, and mm-hmm. I was on her lap pretty much the whole way. Very different time for sure.
Well, so you shared that they were very open about your adoption. So there wasn't a specific point in time that you remember learning. Sitting down and having a conversation. It was just, it was always part of your life.
It was always part of my life. I think part of that too was the fact that we adopted my sister when I was not quite, but almost 3 years old. A year later, we adopted my cousin, Matthew. And, you know, it just was always a constant conversation. It was a source of pride for my parents as well as it was mm-hmm. for me. And it was probably around the age of maybe 8 or 9 where the conversations probably got more intensified because I had a stronger curiosity mm-hmm. about where I was and who I was and my background. And it's probably the same time in schools where you start learning about, you know, what's your ethnic background mm-hmm. and, you know, where does your family come from? And my parents were fortunate enough that there was enough non-identifying information about where I came from that mm-hmm. they could share a lot of what my ethnic background was from, where my biological family came from. And they were very open about sharing all that with me.
And so through the years, what have you learned about what have you wanted to know about your biological family, your biological parents, and what have you learned?
That's a big question because, I wanted to know as much as I possibly could, more than anything. I always wanted, this man and this woman to know that I was okay. Mm-hmm. And that they made the right choice, mm-hmm. that my parents are wonderful parents and I have a great sister, Sarah. And, you know, their sacrifice led to a family mm-hmm. that wanted to be, and, you know, that was the right thing for them to do. Why that becomes such a big question for you to ask is I've met them. After I moved to St. Louis, I went to Mizzou, and after I went to St. Louis, after I graduated, my parents and I worked with Lutheran Family Children's Services to find my biological mother and father, and since had found them quite quickly, actually, after the search began. And we have great relationships with the families, and they're all from Wisconsin, and they're great people. So
you shared that you wanted them to know that you were okay and that their sacrifice meant that you have a loving and caring family, that things have worked out well for you.
Correct. Correct.
Did they, have you had a chance to talk about that with them? Do they?
Extensively. Yeah. And I think the thing that I didn't expect, which certainly seems logical now, but what I didn't expect was understanding what that sacrifice meant to them as far as opening the door of opportunity for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Meg, who's my biological mother, went on to, you know, she went to college and she ended up becoming a nurse and ended up being, you know, this very important person within the state of Wisconsin for public health, a career and a life that may not have been able to happen
mm-hmm.
if you really consider what having a child at 16 would have meant to her in 1968. Went on to get married and have a baby and a life that, you know, like I said, just may not have happened. John Patrick, who's my biological father, he has since passed away, but again, a life where he got married and built a construction business of his own and had two children. And, you know, it just these are things that mm-hmm. they may not have had the opportunity to experience if they had not made that sacrifice. So
when they learned that you're doing well, what did they have a response to that?
I think there was a lot of healing. You know, Christine and I were talking this morning about what that experience must have meant to them mm-hmm. and just to know that I was okay and also to help them heal that they probably struggled a little bit through their lives wondering, did we make the right decision? Was this the right thing for him? Was mm-hmm. this the right thing for us? And meeting me and meeting my parents and meeting my sister, I think reassured them that their decision was the correct one for sure. Absolutely.
How many years, at what age did you finally meet your biological
So it was right
parents?
After college. So I was 23, yeah. 24 years old. And we've got a great relationship with Meg, of course. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, John has since passed away. It's been about 10 years now. But with both of their families, you know, it's a very unique situation. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very, very fortunate and blessed that I have an intensely strong relationship with both families.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see each other as often as possible. And you know, it gave me the opportunity to have grandparents again, where, you know, some of my grandparents had passed away, and now all of a sudden I have grandparents again, and it gave my mom and dad the opportunity to thank them too, which I think was important to my parents.
That was my next question. How did your mom and dad feel about you seeking out and meeting your biological parents?
Well, it was not a big surprise because, as I mentioned, by age 8 or 9, they knew mm-hmm. I had a pretty intense curiosity, much more intense than my sister Sarah had at the time. But I think that they knew that day was going to come where I was mm-hmm. going to want to pursue this if it was possible. And they were a huge part of the conversation. And I would say that meeting my biological family probably intensified and strengthened our relationship as parent and child. It made me understand and appreciate how intensely they wanted to have this baby and the things that they went through. And for us to experience this together it was very bonding for us.
You mentioned you have a sister as well.
Yes.
Sarah. Now, has Sarah met her biological parents?
She has not. I think she's listening right now, actually. but maybe you should talk to her someday. But she hasn't. She has not. I think that there is a curiosity for mm-hmm. sure. But the drive was not there like that was for me. But I think that deep down inside, all adoptees have a curiosity.
Sure.
Different levels of curiosity, but it would be almost unnatural if you didn't have mm-hmm. a little bit of a wondering of what's going on or where I came from.
Sure. And I appreciate that you describe it as a drive.
Sure.
You know, some are really motivated, have this strong drive to meet biological parents and some aren't. And I don't think there's anything wrong either way.
Absolutely not.
Not having a desire, perfectly content with
yes.
with where you are, but it's perfectly fine too. If you have this curiosity, want to know where you come from biologically, that makes sense too.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So how has your experience growing up, knowing the whole time that you were adopted and that you were chosen by your parents, that how has that shaped your perspective, knowing that your sister is adopted and you mentioned other family members adopted as well? How has this shaped your worldview when it comes to adoption?
You know, I think, again, it's such a positive experience. It has been a positive experience for me. And I think what it's done as far as shaping my view on adoption is it's allowed me to share my story with people that are looking to adopt mm-hmm. children, share my story with parents who are looking to foster children, and counsel to some degree children and now adults who are adopted who may not have had that same type of experience that I had with my mm-hmm. parents who were so open about my background. Again, it's such a source of pride for me. Mm-hmm. It's a big leading story whenever I introduce myself to people, whether in business or in personal life. I wear it as a huge badge of pride. Obviously, sure. I love the story and I love to tell people about it.
Have you had a chance to share your story with those who were like your biological parents who found themselves in circumstances expecting a child, but not really knowing what to do?
I've not had that opportunity as often as I probably would have liked. Mm-hmm. I have done a little bit of discussions at Lutheran Family and Children's Services several years ago with pre and post adoptive families. Mm-hmm. I did meet a couple birth moms who had already gone through the process of giving up their child for adoption, but not to the level that I would love to. Just, I think it'd be important though for them to understand that the door of opportunity and possibilities for mm-hmm. them, you know, as well as the child that they would be giving up is enormous. And so important. Mm-hmm. It takes such bravery to make that step forward and to let this child have the life that he or she deserves, and for themselves to have that door of opportunity opened up for them to experience the life that they may have mm-hmm. been meant to have.
Well, the sacrifice that you mentioned earlier, that for a biological parents, for a birth mom to make that sacrifice, to give up a child that she has a connection with, I'm
correct.
Sure, to give up that child so that this child can have a family with all the things that maybe she or he may not be able to give. To hear that as to hear it described as a sacrifice, I'm sure many could identify with that.
For sure.
Many birth moms, many biological parents could identify with that it's a sacrifice to give up a child. But that sacrifice meant the world for you.
It absolutely did. No doubt about it. And to my parents. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the sacrifice resulted in a family. Hmm. And in turn resulted in two other families being able to have a family that they would want to have someday as well, and a life and a career and, you know, just all positive things for sure.
Well, let's talk about your life and your career. Growing up with a family who loved you and cared for you. You mentioned you went to Mizzou, mm-hmm. Studied. What did you study?
So I studied advertising. Mm-hmm. I actually am one of the people who studied and then went on to an advertising career. I work for HLK here in St. Louis, mm-hmm. Hughes Leahy Karlovic, and I'm the chief brand officer there. And I love it. It's been a great career. And at the same time, I'm fortunate enough that I also get to volunteer time at Lutheran Family and Children's Services, and I'm part of the board there as well. And part of the marketing committee there as well. So get to take a little bit of my professional experience and lend it to Lutheran Family and Children's Services. So it's great.
Christine, what does it mean to have David as a part of the team and to hear his story? I'm sure you've heard his story numerous times, but what does it mean to be able to hear his story and to share it with others?
It's really validating, and it's really amazing to have stories like David's. And what I love best is that there is that recognition of the sacrifice that mm-hmm. birth parents have, and that he has kind of come full circle, which is really awesome too. And there are a lot of families out there that are hurting, and that is, you know, for his parents who spent 7 years, you know, hoping and dreaming. Mm-hmm. You think you're gonna get married and have kids because that's what you do, and then that doesn't always work out, and it is an immense honor to be able to help families who, you know, really have come to the end of their road of hope, to say there is hope, there is another option. Also to birth parents who maybe are so overwhelmed, they just learned that they were pregnant and they don't know where to go. And one of the best things about Lutheran Family is that we serve people unconditionally. So if they come to us, we counsel them all throughout their pregnancy. And if they end up parenting, then we support them in those efforts too, because we want to make sure that the child has the healthiest and and strongest start in life.
David, from your perspective, you're involved with, as a volunteer and serving on the board at Lutheran Family and Children's Services in Missouri. What is LFCS doing right?
Wow. I think the things that LFCS brings to families and brings to our entire state really is heart and support and healing and constant efforts that are being pushed forward to all those that they serve is invaluable to the entire state. There's not a family out there who does not have a need that Lutheran Family can support, whether it's adoption services or foster services or psychological counseling, or even disaster services. I mean, Lutheran Family is an incredible organization who has a hand out to all who need help. And to me, it inspires me to be not only a part, but someone who can help share that message with your listeners today, as well as anyone who will give me the time to tell the story about what a great organization Lutheran Family truly is.
We're talking with Christine Corcoran, Director of Statewide Child Welfare with Lutheran Family and Children's Services, and David Pennington sharing his adoption story. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue talking about adoption right here on Faith and Family Today. Stick around for more right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you have young people in the house, make sure they know about this year's National Pro-Life T-Shirt Week. For 5 days, students wear T-shirts bearing a pro-life message. Imagine all the life-saving conversations that would take place because students were wearing the shirts and talking about protecting unborn babies from abortion. The event will be held at the end of April, so you've got time to organize in your area. There'll be a contest between kids who post pictures on social network sites, along with a scavenger hunt. The cool prizes include a tablet, Bose headphones, and Bluetooth speaker. I'm glad to be one of the co-sponsors. Get more details at today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. Then get moving and get your friends involved in standing up for life.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Hello from Michigan. We are Roger and Leela Thurow, members of Our Savior Lutheran Church, located in Scottville, just a few miles from the Lake Michigan shoreline. For the past 3 years, Leela and I have been day sponsors on KFUO in honor of our wedding anniversary. The voice of KFUO streams into our home, bringing the blessings of programs like Law and Gospel, Thy Strong Word, Book Talk, Moments of Assurance, and many more. If the messenger of good news has blessed you, we would like to encourage you to consider becoming a KFUO day sponsor. This opportunity to be a KFUO day sponsor reminds me of the words of a great hymn. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recently said these words regarding the importance of the work of Concordia Historical Institute.
When you forget your past, you forget the gospel. You become locked into your own little part of time. As you study the past and know the past and know what happened in the past, you see God at work and you see Christ.
Discover your Lutheran history at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
In 1924, we embraced the new technology of that day, radio. Since that day, we've stayed on the cutting edge of technology. There are many easy ways to listen to Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the gospel of Christ in both word and song. Now that's why you should listen. The where and the how, well, that's up to you. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. On air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It's another beautiful day here in the studio. Beautiful because of the beautiful stories we get to share here on Faith and Family. We're sharing the adoption story of David Pennington. And David, I've enjoyed your story so far because it's living proof that that the work like folks at Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri is so important. You have a beautiful adoption story that you have this huge family now because you have your adoptive parents, your biological family as well. And so adopted sister and cousins in this family seems to keep growing. Are there more being added to this family?
Actually, I mentioned earlier on that the adoption experience has been talked about in my family quite a bit. My cousin Jason has adopted two children from Africa. Or Ethiopia specifically, and it's again, just the family keeps growing through many different ways, but the adoption process is one that we're very open and talking about all the time because it's something we're all very proud of.
Christine serves as Christine Corcoran is the director of statewide child welfare with Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. Christine, let's talk about the process. Hearing David's story today, not everyone's story is the same, but it is a beautiful story. If a family is considering opening their home to growing through adoption, what are some of the first steps that they would take in coming to Lutheran Family and Children's Services?
Sure. Well, one of the first greatest steps is to go to our website because we do have a lot of information on our website and we have phone numbers for specific people all across the state that can answer questions on our website. So there are email addresses, there are phone numbers, and I would say the first step is really to just reach out and get educated. There's a lot of misinformation out there about adoption, and it can be sort of overwhelming when you first start the process. So just reaching out to us and letting us sort of help you steer you in the right way or make sure that our agency is the fit for you. And if it's not, kind of directing you to the best place to serve
You mentioned that there is a lot of misinformation. There are some misconceptions, I'm sure, about adoption. Let's tackle a couple of those.
Sure.
What are some of the misconceptions? What is some of the misinformation out there about adoption?
Well, I think some of the big ones are that birth parents, when they choose adoption, that they're being selfish or that they really don't love their child. And honestly, there just couldn't be anything further from the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, birth parents that make the plan of adoption do so and they in a very selfless and loving way. So that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that adoptees that, you know, that there is something wrong or there's a reason that that adoption is being chosen. And really, children that come through adoption are just like any other child, mm-hmm. you know, and they are very loved and cherished, really almost more so than children who where you do it the other way. So I would say, and you know, that it takes a long time. And, you know, in some circumstances it does. So just coming to us and sort of talking through what type mm-hmm. of adoption best fits your family. We are fortunate enough at Lutheran Family to work with all types of adoption. So we work with families who want to adopt from other countries or mm-hmm. adopt an infant. Or we also work with kids who have been abused and neglected and come with a brother and sister and are older. And so we kind of cover all aspects of adoption.
I'm glad that you pointed out there are a variety of different types of adoptions, including older children. How many, do you have an idea roughly how many children are waiting for a family?
Well, it's kind of a moving target because mm-hmm. I would say statewide there are usually around 10,000 kids that people are searching for forever homes. Now, not all of them might be in the same process or being as close to being freed for adoption, but they're certainly looking for families for children.
You mentioned some who, some children who have been abused or neglected, and that there's a misconception about this. This is no fault of the child.
Absolutely,
the child, whether abused or neglected, needs a loving family, needs a loving home, and just as much as a child who's not been abused or neglected. I think sometimes we look over that group. Do you get that sense that there's this stigma that we'll look past that group?
Well, I think that adopting a child that's been in the foster care system because mm-hmm. of abuse or neglect, it does take some special skills, and not every family is really open and able to provide mm-hmm. for children that come with those types of traumas and needs. But that is the great thing about Lutheran Family and many of the other resources in our community, is that if there is a willingness, we certainly can bring an army of resources to support you in that effort. But again, it's not for everyone. And that's why it's important to sit down and really be guided through what type of adoption is the best fit for your family.
Boy, and you weren't kidding when you said an army of resources.
Yes.
The resources that LFCS alone offers, but I'm sure you're so connected to so many other resources as well to help families to meet whatever challenges they face.
Yes, we certainly try.
So the first step, if one is looking, or if a family is looking to grow by adoption, to get in touch, check out the website. And what's the website?
It is lfcsmo.org.
LFCSMO.org, and you can look under adoption services there on the website and start finding those contacts. And there's a regular, if I understand correctly, there's a regular info session each month as well, correct?
Yes, we do have a monthly information session, and those are listed on the website. And but if those don't work, then we're more than happy to sit down with anyone who's interested, or just contacting us, we can help answer some questions.
What are some common questions that new families or first-time families who are coming to learn more about adoption, what are some of the questions that come up pretty frequently?
How much does it cost?
Sure. Which that's a fair question.
Yeah, fair question. Lutheran Family provides all of our services on a sliding scale, so that we don't want the financial burdens, that be the primary concern of families. Mm-hmm. We really, that's why we're fortunate to have board members and a fundraising department that help us offset the costs for adoption. But we offer, again, our services on a sliding scale, that the wait is going to be really long. And sometimes it is longer than others. It just really depends on, where we are, with adoptions and families, and that it's just too overwhelming of a process. And again, that's why our social workers are sort of there to really help guide and take everything at your pace, so that you take the time that you need to decide what really is the best type of adoption for you, or if adoption is right at all for your family.
So you go through some of those steps in conversations to figure out is adoption the right choice for your family. What are some of the things that you'll do? I imagine there's a home study along the way and things like that. What are some of the things that are a part of that process?
So you mentioned the home study, which includes no white glove check, which a lot of people say in the beginning. I wouldn't want somebody coming with a white glove to my house. We wouldn't come to your house with a white glove. But just making sure that, there are background checks, references, how you plan to talk about adoption. We spend a lot of time working with families so that they are really comfortable with adoption and that adoption is a part of the child's life from the beginning. Mm-hmm. We, as David mentioned, provide a workshop to all of our families that includes a panel of birth parents, a panel of adoptive parents, and a panel of adoptees where they can hear from other experiences. We also do a very important part of the process is a couple completing their marketing tool, which is we call an album, which basically is their marketing piece that we show to birth parents. And one thing about our program is that we're extremely birth parent driven in that the birth parents select families through an album process. So they look at albums and they get some of the questions that they have answered through that process of, how do you spend Christmas? What type of community do you live in? What are your hopes and dreams for your child? Just some of those really basic things, because, you often hear from birth parents when they meet adoptive families, you're just what I want to be when I grow up, kind of, And so they do that through that marketing piece.
So they put together this answers to questions the birth parents would ask along the way, and then how are they matched up? How do the birth parents go through and look at this information and find a family that they would like to they'd like to work with?
Well, essentially, except that there are always caveats,
sure.
Which, we are talking with birth parents about sort of what has gone on in the pregnancy and if there are any drugs and alcohol used, we collect that information. It's really important, not in any kind of judgmental way, but it's really important for us to have all of the information so that the child and the family have the best start and the best, you know, they're equipped. The other thing we talk a lot about with birth parents is what they imagine they want in terms of a level of openness. So would they like to see the child once a year? Would they like to receive pictures and letters for 18 years? What do they envision they want that relationship to look like? So we're only putting families forward that sort of meet those criteria and that are open to whatever it is the birth parent is envisioning.
How? Now I'm stumped. So if someone is, well, let's say they find themselves in a situation with an unexpected pregnancy, and they, first of all, how do they find out about Lutheran Family and Children's Services? They may be considering adoption. They're considering all their options. How do they find out about LFCS? And what is that first step? What do they find when they are first connected with Lutheran Family and Children's Services?
Well, the first thing that I hope they find is that we are non-judgmental in our services, and we would never encourage a birth parent in either way, that mm-hmm. we really want to provide a neutral education and counseling so that they can make a decision. And the other thing is no birth parent comes to us or very few birth parents come to us knowing this is exactly what I want to do. There is a lot of wavering and a lot of emotions, and we're there to sort of process through that all during the pregnancy or at whatever point they come to us. Hopefully, they can go to our website. On our website, we have direct phone numbers that they can text or call 24 hours a day, depending on what area they live in. Mm-hmm. But they can text or call any one of those numbers and get connected immediately with a social worker. They can also email us or walk in, really we make serving birth parents definitely one of our priorities.
David, as you're hearing about this process, I see you nodding your head. what would you like to share, or do you have anything to add?
I would just say that I think the thing that Lutheran Family and Children's Services does so well, like Christine was just pointing out, is that the organization is about helping and supporting the decision of the birth parent, or being there to support and guide and counsel the soon to be adoptive parent. It is the openness and the open arm approach that Lutheran Family brings to those who are looking and needing help is so important, I think, to those who are looking for that help and guidance along the way. Everyone's experiences are a little bit different. You know, I mentioned earlier my adoption experience, and my adoption experience was a private adoption. There are so many more open adoption opportunities if you as a birth mother or father are looking for that openness and that opportunity to mm-hmm. watch your child grow as they grow. I think, like I said, everything is customizable to some degree. And that's what the wonderful thing is that Lutheran Family and Children's Services brings to those who are needing help.
Christine, you mentioned that this can be a very emotional time for a birth parent. How often do you or other staff, when meeting with a birth mother, how often do you cry at work?
Well, pretty often, especially when we have those placements mm-hmm. and what we call an entrustment ceremony, where the child is physically placed with the family. And it is really just such a privilege that over the years I've been able to sit in. One of my favorite types of meetings is when the adoptive family and the birth parents meet for the first time, which often happens now pretty regularly during the pregnancy. And it it is just, there are theme, while every adoption is different and every individual story is unique, some of the most amazing themes are really just a connection that comes out of those meetings. And, you know, I, with both parties being so nervous and so afraid and so concerned about being judged, and then to watch them really make these loving, amazing connections is just, it really is such a privilege.
You mentioned a special ceremony. Did you say the entrustment?
Yes, the entrustment ceremony.
Tell us about that.
So we think it's really important to have that formalized. I kind of call it a wedding for adoption.
Sure, but for better or for worse.
Yeah. And when they're teenagers, definitely could be worse. So basically, when the adoptive parents get the child physically for... or even if they're present at the birth, we have it after the court hearing, and they come together with the birth family. And we've talked a lot about birth mothers today, and I want to say that it's really important to us to draw in and counsel anyone that's supporting that birth mother. So we really love to work with birth fathers and birth grandparents, and those are the situations where the birth mother is supported the most, is when she has all of that support around her. So whoever that birth mother chooses to come to that ceremony, and if it's too hard for her, then certainly she wouldn't, it's not required. But, and then there's a foster parent if the child spent any amount of time in foster care. And it's really just a blessing, a ceremony where they come together and all commit to loving this child. Excuse me.
What I'm sure that's probably the one of the highlights, if not one of the highest times of your work, is getting to see those families come together. How can we? Well, David, what's your encouragement to someone who is to birth parents who are considering adoption and nervous about this, nervous about being judged, nervous about giving up their child?
Sure.
What are your words to that birth parent?
Yeah, I will tell you that, and to use some of the words that Christine talked about as well, and to use some of the words I talked about, and that those words are sacrifice, the bravery that it takes to stand up and do something like that, and the selflessness that's involved. I think my words of encouragement are to embrace those feelings, because they're the leading words that you'll be thinking of as you take this journey in giving this child to a family that's looking for that baby. At the same time, I think that the other thing I would share with that individual or that family is to definitely turn to an organization like Lutheran Family to help guide you through what is a challenge. I mean, it is, if you consider for a moment the challenge of giving up a child for a better life or a life that you may not be able to provide, you're going to need that support and that help from not only your family, but possibly from an organization like Lutheran Family and Children's Services. Accept that counseling, accept that shoulder to cry on, accept the support that they will offer you, because you're going to need it, and it will help prepare you to move forward with your life as well. And I think the last thing I would say too is that child someday, whether you know them along the way, whether you see pictures of them along the way, that child will have the love for you and respect for you, whether you know them or not, whether they know you or not, because of that sacrifice that you've made. Certainly from my experience, that's how I always felt. I always felt so proud of this person who I didn't know at the time for making this huge sacrifice. And I dreamed of meeting her and him someday. I was fortunate enough to do that. But the feeling for me was never about abandonment. It was about sacrifice. And it was about being brave. It was about doing the right thing for me. And that was a charge that I walked with every day.
Christine, for those who are thinking of becoming parents, of thinking about adopting, We've shared with them some of the steps of that process, answered some of the questions, some of those common questions that they might have, and addressed some of the misconceptions. What's your encouragement to those who are considering adoption today? You mentioned the numbers in terms of children who are waiting for a family, whether they're in the foster system now or with foster families now, or waiting to be eligible for adoption. What's your encouragement to potential parents?
I would say just it starts with a phone call, or it starts with an email, or it starts with looking at our website and getting more information and contacting us. Certainly, no obligation to using Lutheran Family. We are happy to talk you through whatever you're interested in and helping you. And one of the things that I will say about Lutheran Family is that we do support birth parents and adoptive families throughout their lifetime. So we recognize that adoption is a lifelong process, and we want to be available. And even though who knows what could happen, I would say we have a pretty good track record that we've been around since 1868, that we will be there for the foreseeable future to answer any questions, to provide counseling when you hit a stumbling block along the way. And that's one of the things that we take great pride in.
And what parent at 3 o'clock in the morning doesn't hit a stumbling block that first year?
Well, yeah.
I'm sure in those, just like biological parents who are parenting, adoptive parents face those same challenges too in those first few years. I know what it's like to face that. We have a 17-month-old child, and we are grateful for him. But that doesn't mean that there aren't questions that come up along the way. To have this whole army of resources at LFCS to help you through those challenges, what a great resource. And it's kind of when you adopt a child, you get more than the child. You're adopting this whole family of LFCS, aren't you?
Yes, we would like to say to the positive, yes, we would. We are definitely there to answer questions. And as David mentioned, a lot of questions come up when they have to do that family tree. And, we're there to help guide.
Well, thank you both for sharing just this, David, your wonderful story, and Christine, for sharing with us today how others can be a part of a beautiful story like this, whether it's as adoptive parents or as birth parents and biological parents. It's just a great thing. You all are doing great things. And David, so glad to hear not only that you have a beautiful story, but that you're able to partner now with Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri and volunteer and serve on the board there as well, so that others can have a story like yours.
Oh, thank you very much, Andy. We appreciate it.
Great to spend some time with you today. Christine, thanks for being our guest here on Faith and Family.
Thanks for having us.
Christine Corcoran serves as the Director of Statewide Child Welfare with Lutheran Family and Children's Services. David, thank you so much for sharing your story, for being our guest, and for taking a stand for adoption, so that folks can hear the story and know what a wonderful gift it is.
Thank you again.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Thy Strong Word. Hope you can stick around and study God's Word with us. Pastor Whedon will be in just a little bit to help you study God's Word here today on listener-supported worldwide KFUO. You can find today's program on our website. You can go to kfuo.org, and you'll find the archive of the program later on under the On Demand section. Look for Faith and Family On Demand section on kfuo.org, and you'll be able to download the program later on. We'll provide a link as well to Lutheran Family and Children's Services on that website as well. Hope you can go check it out, and you can find other programs there as well. KFUO.org. Look for the On Demand section, Faith and Family, there under the On Demand section, and you can share this story. You can share it on social media. Share your story, today's story, with others, and give us some feedback as well. Drop me a line on email, family@kfuo.org. Would love to hear from you. Stick around for more great programming right here on listener supported worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.